Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Box Out Boys. I'm here with my co-host, Spencer Clark, and we're here to talk about our favorite thing in the world, college basketball. If you're joining in, I assume it's up there in your top three of one of your favorite things, too. We're coming to you live from our new studio, new mics, new this, new that. Clark, how is your weekend? How are you doing today?
Weekend was really nice, really low-key. Like you said, it's great to be here in our new studio. Finally got some mics, so the sound quality should be a little bit better for everyone, too. But it just feels good to be here. It feels like the next step in our progression as we grow as podcasters. Same way college kids grow as athletes throughout their 4 years, we're just doing it at an accelerated rate.
That's a good comparison. The heavy growth week to week. That's what we see from college basketball players, but heavier growth from this podcast too. The numbers are in and they're not lying. Number one. That's what they're saying.
That is.
I don't make this up.
No, we would never make up statistics or anything like that of well to inflate our podcast, but I am also hearing the number one rumors. So
yeah.
Thank you to
just
the listeners.
Just out the Kelsey brothers.
Thank you to the listeners.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Rutgers fans, Purdue fans, Santa Clara fans. It's really on those guys. But we've had an exciting week, past week, of college basketball. I mean, don't we always? But the upset trend continues, you know. That's the name of the game in college basketball in general, but especially this time around in the season. Teams are flowing a little better. The upset trend from last week spilled into this week continues to happen. I think this is somewhere along the lines of the worst stretch the top 25 has done in a two-week span. So what does that say? I think there's a lot you could interpret there. But I think, as always, we're seeing a lot of evenness, a lot of parity amongst all the college basketball schools. Is NIL affecting that? Maybe. Is it just the new landscape of college basketball in general? Maybe. But it's an interesting thing to look at. And it's those kind of things that we talk about that just make the story of the season even a little more fun and gets me extra fired up for March. Thinking about the potential, you know, how many double-digit seeds will make a run this tourney. You know, it's just things like that that get me fired up. But talking on some good previous games we had, anything stand out to you that you want to talk about before we get into next week, news and notes?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to have Kansas and Duke losing in the same
yes.
week.
You're so right.
I mean, what more do you want than that? That's fun. Is it Blake Hinson jumping up on the scorer's table? And the pictures of the Duke fans just flipping him off? Did you see that?
I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I was waiting for a little more explanation.
Hardest picture of the year after the game. He's up on the scorer's table yelling at the Duke fans. And the freeze still is just them all flipping him off.
I love that. I hope that goes down as one of the all-time great photos, but, you know, I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know why they're not pushing it. I think that it has more to do with Duke this year and their lack of spotlight, I guess they get. They always get it, I think, but this year feels a little – the spotlight's not solely on them. The ACC is a little better. They're having a down year-ish. I mean, these are all big generalizations, but I'm trying to justify why I didn't see the picture, I guess. Maybe my head's not in the game as much as it needs to be, but that picture sounds hard, and we'll be throwing that up. We'll be posting that.
Yeah, we absolutely will be. It's disappointing that you haven't seen that photo. but I feel like Duke's been a little – it almost feels like sometimes college basketball is a coach's game because it feels like Duke and North Carolina – really haven't gotten the same fanfare that they had when Roy and Coach K were there. Feels like college basketball could be a coach's game. Like Patino, like guys like that. Big personality.
Dan Hurley, Bill Self. You're saying that's where – do you think – so the spotlight, as much as we know that it follows the players, because it certainly does, you can't not put a spotlight on somebody who's putting up 25-plus, 20-plus a game. But is the spotlight more on the coaches?
Yeah, I think it is across the board. Besides, like, the elite guys, but, like, who's the best player in college basketball this year? Zach Edey?
Yeah.
We'll say Zach Edey for this. Are more people going to know who John Calipari is that are just off the street or know who Zach Edey is? Like, it's a
Oh, they're
coach's
gonna
game.
know who Calipari is, but at the same time, that's a crazy comparison with how long Calipari's been here, the success he's had. You know his name from March. He's always slated to make a deep run. It's kind of been forgotten in these past couple years, but man makes deep college basketball runs. Edie, in your defense, has been here for like 4 years and
Yeah.
is arguably one of the better basketball players, I mean, that stuck around that we've had within the last 4 or 5 years. Not to the NBA point, you know what I'm saying? Not like, this from a developmental standpoint and how he could transition into the league, definitely not one of the best. But for a guy that's stuck around for 4 years, I feel like, yeah, the national spotlight should be on him a little more than it is. But at the same
I don't
time,
know.
I also kind of take all that back. And you know what? This last segment we just had, I'm not really going to stand 10 toes on anything I just said right there.
Okay, yeah, because like, and maybe Saban, like college for college football, he's the one that can maybe he's probably the only one, but it feels like there's a lot of college basketball coaches that people just know about. Maybe it's mob ties. I don't know. Just something to ponder.
It's got to be, they're just there so long. I mean,
That's what I'm
schools like
saying.
Duke and Kentucky just have those hardcore fan bases where they're not football schools, they're basketball schools. And so generally and traditionally where football is the biggest brand, it's that all of that is going to be brought in, all the money, everything is going to college basketball. And I mean, yeah, to your point, I guess Duke's is not the same Duke that we've grown up with John Shire.
Yeah, because he just doesn't have the he doesn't have the face that Coach K had.
He could though. He could, I think. Okay, let's just put it bluntly. He's a little better looking than the guy, than old Coach K. He doesn't look like one of the Green Guts goblins that was just hammering the day. Good comparison, right? A little bit. It's
Think
there.
that I have no comment on that comparison.
And it's no shade. It's all in good fun, but there's a little goblin there. There's a little goblin in that
Okay.
guy. But moving on to some news and notes. This week we had some good games go on, but we also had the return on Sunday of a very beloved college basketball player of this podcast. And after going through some trials and tribulations, and honestly, the college basketball world did not expect that this man would come back this year. This man did not expect he'd come back this year. But Terrence Shannon Jr. played his first game against Rutgers this Sunday. They won. He put up 16 points. Terrence Shannon Jr.'s back. How excited are you for that?
I've tempered my excitement just because he is involved in an ongoing rape case. So
Okay.
I'm not through the roof, unlike maybe my co-host here, but I am excited to have him back. He's such a fun college basketball player. He's got a little swag to him. I don't know why he's not a bigger brand in the college basketball world. We might just be past the point of college basketball players being big brands, but he's so fun to watch play. Regardless of what's going off the court, he obviously gives that Illinois team a boost. He's an All-American. He's most games he steps on the court, he's the best player out there. So this is really good for Illinois' prospects. I mean, they look like a team that can really compete in the Big Ten and compete when it comes to March.
And he adds that whole X factor to their game, makes them completely. They go from a team that could still, honestly, this team without him showed they were still good enough to get it done. A random loss to on the road against Maryland, that wasn't a good look. One of the bottom teams in the Big Ten, but they were still holding their own, putting up a fight against anybody. But their ceiling was so much lower without this guy. That now it just feels like they're back for a potential national championship. Like before that was gone, they would get to March. Nobody had great expectations for this Illinois team. I'm sure they would have surprised and rallied around the fact that they may feel they unfairly lost a team player. But to that point again, I'm not advocating for Terrence Shannon Jr. I guess I'm just taking the approach right now of innocent until proven guilty. You can come at me, anybody. For that stance, I'll stand by it right now. But at this point, the facts that we have, I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm not saying he's not guilty at all. I'm just saying he's back and he's playing college basketball. This happened after he was suspended December 28th. The judge in the case basically came to Illinois and said that there was no reason for him not that he violated. Sorry. They're saying that, okay, we stumbled there a little, but the school of Illinois basically was forced to reinstate Terrence Shannon because a judge found that they had violated some civil rights clause within the university that said they can't suspend him for this right now, for these actions. So that happened. I'm sure that's credit to Terrence Shannon's lawyers, everybody in his circle, just, you know, really putting a lot of pressure to get that done. And when he came back, the Illinois fan base gave him a round of applause, a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And quoted saying that they feel more whole as a team. So you know what? This is two sides. I think I'm looking at this as a little wholesome, you know, just hoping the guy's innocent. Based off the story that I've read, I've tried to follow as closely as you can without being in a courtroom, talking to judges, knowing the full story, just a third party, long distance scope.
You should get in the courtroom with them.
Well, we reached out, I emailed, but the case is still pending. It's not going to be, it's set for February 23rd. So when it gets around there, that's when we'll get a little more eyes in there, see if I can get a tape recorder in and I guess get some inside stats and info on that, you know, see what's Terrence putting up in the courtroom, I guess is what I want to know.
Well, yeah. Yep. I completely understand.
But he's definitely a little rusty coming back. 16 points, but 0 for 5 from 3. Kind of to be expected. But at the same time, I'm just happy that a college basketball player like this isn't being penalized at this point. Draft stock not being – just all – his whole future is not being completely thrown away right now until, you know, until due process.
Innocent until proven guilty. Where do you think – did that originate from, like, the Bill of Rights? Where did that come from?
Yeah, I had to because, I mean, if I'm just spitballing here, I think I feel like America was looking at this as the British were doing something this way and they didn't like it. And so they started doing it the American way, innocent till proven guilty. I'm just imagining the British did it opposite. And then America was like, we're going to do it this way because this way is way better.
Oh, you think we did it different than them?
Yeah, or they took a lot of influence from Rome and Greek, I guess, old law, but it's neither here nor there.
Right. Okay. I'm with you.
In other news, DePaul fired their head coach.
Goodbye.
After starting off 0-7. DePaul's head coach that we do not know your name. Goodbye.
Actually, fair.
But that being said, are we looking at a resurgence for DePaul?
I'm seeing a lot of Will Wade chatter.
Yeah.
And for those of you at home who aren't familiar with Will Wade's game, he was fired from LSU for pretty much doing NIL before they could do NIL. He's coaching at McNeese State. Pretty much everywhere he goes, he tries to cheat. So he's the kind of guy you actually probably want leading your program in 2024. Especially if
and
you're
I think
DePaul.
Definitely if you're DePaul. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It is like the perfect story, too, of him coming to Chicago, the most crooked city in the world. Like, I can't imagine what he'll get tied up in here.
Probably like, some fun.
Like, he'll go down to the docks after games and, like, fucking sling coke. That's the kind of guy that I think he is, which I respect on some level.
You're really throwing a lot at Will Wade's character. I don't think it's
really
too far
am.
Off, though.
I really
I don't
am.
Think it's too far off at the end of the day.
Right. And I think some people also see him as an innovator. I mean, he was doing NIL before you could do NIL. And he's been very outspoken and supportive of it, too.
But like you said, I mean, history at LSU was – people were talking about him when he was there. Nobody's talking about LSU anymore. Kind of a very big afterthought in the world of college basketball. He's now at McNeese State. A lot of people are low-key talking about McNeese State. I think that'd be huge – you think he'd leave that team mid-season?
I don't think you go – no, you can't leave mid-season, can you? Is it early enough in
you,
the season?
You can. I think you can leave whenever.
But, like, do you think that you could go somewhere mid-season and do a good job coaching them? Or are you just focused on next year and fuck your current school that's on an 11-game win streak?
I think you should only So
Chase
I
Young
guess to
back.
answer your question, I don't think you can do that effectively. No, I think the only situation where it works is when somebody's fired for a scandal and you got to bring somebody in right away. That's not an assistant. That's not somebody involved in the organization. Usually it's an inside hire, but if it was an outside hire, I think that's the only chance that I see that actually working. There's a lot more added pressure. It's not like they chose to fire the guy because he just sucked, because his basketball record wasn't good enough. I think it works if somebody's fired for scandal.
Would you rather, if you were a basketball coach, would you rather be fired for scandal or because you were a shitty coach?
Probably a scandal that it comes out later that I was totally in the right and they unfairly fired me. And so there's chance of justice for me now.
Oh,
Because you can
okay.
get behind that storyline. You can't get behind any other storyline. If not, I'd rather be fired for being just a bad coach. I just had a bad stint there. Go somewhere else, do a lot better.
What about like Patino and the strippers, the hookers.
I don't think I'd want that. I think Patino handled that as best as somebody could, but I don't think I'd handle it that well. I think he's
That's
just a different chip off the block, just a different guy.
the most going out guns blazing instance of all time.
Did he ever apologize? I feel like no. And if he did, he didn't mean it. So I feel like Patino always stood 10 toes down on that. And yeah.
Yeah,
And he's a better man for it.
I mean that's a guy. That's a guy with mob ties.
If there is a guy with mob ties in the league, it's for sure him. Like, he looks like somebody who would be connected with the New York Giants agent. Like, that's just a sports family they're all involved.
Yeah, and what do they have in common? Are they both Italian?
I think so.
Patino has to
Patino,
be.
he's gotta be. That's what I'm saying. He looks so Italian.
He is a New York City
DeVito
guy.
for sure. Patino, DeVito, these names are so Italian.
Yeah, I think we were overthinking it for a moment. But so he's doing his thing. Everyone's doing their thing.
Everyone's doing their thing. Okay. Moving forward, Texas lost to UCF this week. And that was at home. That was at the Longhorns' newer college basketball arena.
The Moody
I think it's been
Center.
there. Yeah, the Moody Center.
This is year number two of it. Heard's great.
Yeah, I've heard great things too.
I just feel like a new stadium. I feel like you gotta have some of the history, some of the culture that goes with the arena. You don't get
We
that.
gotta get there. You
But
gotta build it back up.
how many years does it take to build up the culture of a basketball arena?
I think it's
25.
how many moments. How many moments?
Oh, it
Like,
could
how
be
many
nine.
moments does that arena have? What have you done in that arena? Otherwise, it takes quite a while.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, yeah, they've been there for a decade, and like, that's cool. 20 years, that's cool. And then the longer you go, the more history is gonna be associated with your arena. So obviously time's always going to be a factor, but big moments, like if year one Texas came out in the Moody Center and they were absolutely national championship, they dog teams, they actually absolutely cakewalked their regular season. I mean, we'd be telling a different story. The Moody Center would already be special after year one.
Yeah. And I mean, credit to UCF in this game. UCF, I think everyone is just kind of sees them as the forgotten Big 12 team that nobody really gives a shit about. And people are pretty much right about that. But I think people overlook them. They got one on Texas. They got Kansas too. I mean, they got some sneaky wins where it looks like teams are overlooking them under their next game.
I mean, two teams that are pretty credited and have some good ties with the Big 12, to be honest. I mean, really Kansas, Texas, not so much. We're already waving goodbye to them. But after they won, they were horns down in everybody in the stadium or in the arena. Horns down in everybody. The Texas coach actually said something in the line, told them to cut it out. Said, quit doing that shit, boys. That's classless. Show a little class here.
What do you think about that?
I think horns down. Ronnie Terry, you need to chill out. If you don't want people to horns down you in your own arena, maybe don't lose at home. It's just part of the game. Sure, can it feel a little classless? I'm sure it does to you, Rodney, because you didn't want that to happen. You don't want to lose. And so you take it a little more personal than it actually is. And as, Texas fans, I'm sure know that. I'm sure they hate that. They never want to see the horns down. But, you got to roll with it. Everybody's doing it. You're a nationally not liked organization for the most part. I mean, think people were rooting for them a little in the playoffs there, but they'll never get that Vince Young magic back.
No, but how could you? That's a very sensitive fan base.
They
I
are
think.
so sensitive, but he came back and he apologized for his rant. He said, "I'm sorry. I should have just let him do it. I'll go fuck myself now."
I still hold the grudge. I don't love it. I don't know. Texas is just so annoying to me across the board, and it's nice to see them lose. And then, of course, they played Baylor on Saturday,
Yep.
and he who should not be named had a nice game. Game winner. It's a bummer. That Baylor team's interesting. I just don't know how, I don't know how built for it they are.
I still feel like they're built for it just because their resume, looking at it, they're passing the eye test to me with the wins they have. They don't have too many bad losses. They were bound to take one in the Big 12 soon. And I mean, I know they'd lost before Texas, but kind of feels like a trap game. Both Texas schools going at it. Sure, it means a little more. Texas is kind of in a do or die mode with how they've been playing recently. I mean, just some unnecessary losses that a school of their caliber getting the caliber and level of recruits that they're getting, they should be playing a lot better than they are. I'm sure Rodney Terry in his infancy of coaching at Texas once more as well. So, I mean, they were playing backs against the walls to a Baylor team that is a lot more comfortably going to the NCAA tournament right now. They're not concerned about it. Obviously, they wanted the win, but it wasn't backs against the wall for them.
No, it wasn't. And they at times in that game they looked a little discombobulated. Didn't look like they really knew what they were doing. To be quite frank, they tied it up on a prayer of a three-pointer with about 5 seconds to go. We'll see. Big 12's a dogfight. We knew the Big 12 was going to be a dogfight. Every game, every night out, doesn't matter.
Was Jacoby Walters showing some youth?
Jacoby Walters, they put in Texas, put in a guy out on him, and he kind of. They locked Jacoby Walter down for the most part. They made things very uncomfortable on him. But he's a
Damn,
freshman.
and you always hate to see he who shall not be named having a big game. But at the same time, Jacoby Walters still getting it done for Baylor. I'm impressed by him. I hope he's a lottery pick. Because he's tall, athletic as fuck looking, and just fun to watch. Anybody hitting it from downtown pretty regularly, they're gonna be up there for me in college basketball. That's just a fun part of the game. You're always a little bit more, ooh, is he gonna do it? And when he does it makes it that much more fun. But he still had himself a game. Dylan DeSeo
He's great.
still
Inside,
having himself
outside.
games.
He's phenomenal. Inside, outside, not a ton he can't do.
And he's getting back with them. Texas is getting a little more comfortable. And that's a team I expect to do a little better throughout the season, just because, in my eyes, before this Baylor win, they really didn't have a signature win for me at all. And they were one of the few teams I could look at and confidently bet against, just because it's like, what has Texas done? They haven't done anything. They're not passing the eye test. They don't seem like a team that can play as a unit of five. A team that can't play as a team, that's always trouble. But with Dylan Dessou back in the rotation, everything seems to be going a little better for them. I'd like to see them trend up, not from just from an objective standpoint of college basketball. That's why I see them going. Baylor, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they're well coached. They're well coached. They will be fine. Did you have any games from last week that really caught your eye?
I watched a few Colorado games, liked what I saw there. Nothing noteworthy to touch on. I mean, Caleb Williamson, or Cody Williamson, excuse me, another potential probable NBA lottery draft pick. He's starting to ball out more now that he's getting healthy there, and this Colorado team's putting it together in the Pac-12. Oh, a weaker Pac-12 this year, I will say. Looks pretty down with the down years USC and UCLA are having up to this point, but still getting it done, looking fun, and looking a little dangerous. Other than that, probably, you know what? I just made time for the Iowa State boys. Turned on the BYU game after our pod last weekend. Quickly turned the volume down on that game and just kind of watched it in the background. As you knew, the inevitable was happening. BYU was having a hot night. I mean, they live and die by the three. And what's so awesome about and fun about this team is they've been living so well by that three, where I believe they take the most threes out of any college basketball team in the nation, if not like top five, which is still insane. So right up there with Kentucky, that's a team that lives and dies by it. Fun to watch. They destroyed Iowa State, which wasn't Iowa State's day. And then watched the Iowa State TCU game, turned it on and watched most of the first half into the second. And then thought I saw a little comeback from TCU coming, but had to dip out. Checked the final score and was just shaking my head. Thank God Iowa State got out of there.
Yeah, they did. Without Lipsey on Saturday, he hurt his shoulder,
Yeah.
aggravated his shoulder. His shoulder injury has been lingering for a while now. Gave him a rest day on Saturday, which honestly, I could see more people starting to do just across these conference games, just because they're so intense, and guys need breathers. 2 a week's a lot. So it was nice to get him a rest. And then we still somehow went out there and won, forced a ton of turnovers, 28 or 29. I mean,
A ridiculous amount of turnovers, yeah.
Iowa State, when they want to play some defense, they can really play some defense. We still struggle in the offense. Pretty much everything we get's transition.
Yeah, which isn't the worst, as long as you can play a team that doesn't, as long as you can play a team that can't adjust to it that well. But for the most part, I think if you're able to get your transition game going, then I mean that's a huge lethal threat. Bring up Kentucky again. Nobody does it better.
No, nobody does it better than them. Maybe, except maybe Iowa State.
Except maybe Iowa State. I mean, what I like seeing from that game is no talent for Iowa State. They didn't have their leader there, their sophomore point guard, who already seems like a veteran. Crazy to say as a sophomore, but when you start as a freshman, you grow up real fast in college basketball. So it was good to see that without him, we had Curtis Jones step up. I liked that. I do you think he was surprised to get the call? Like, you're starting today, buddy. You're going in.
Maybe a little bit. He's a really hot and cold player. I haven't completely come around on loving him yet. My biggest takeaway was Omaha.
Hey, how about Omaha coming in for some six good solid minutes?
I love that. Let's get him all the playing time we can.
I think he came in limited minutes and was 2 for 2. Yeah, he shot 100%. He didn't miss. He came in, didn't do anything too crazy on the assist boards or anything, but in limited time, you just want to see somebody go in and just be efficient. That's what he did. And that's definitely a step in the right direction for his development. You know, there's still the potential that he could be a dangerous factor for this Iowa State team come the end of Big 12 play, come March. I mean, he's only getting better. And so that's what you like to see, just to keep that hope alive that he'll be producing with us this year and not just, I don't know, a guy riding the bench, trying to learn the ropes and practice and not getting as much game time experience.
It is kind of weird being an Iowa State fan and just having a random McDonald's All-American sitting on our bench, like not getting minutes. That's something that we're not really used to.
No, not at all. The best players that we've gotten, not all Americans, some playing in the league. I mean, Horton Tucker, Haliburton, those guys came in, won and done it, but they were not rated as high as Omaha is right now. And so it is weird to see. Very confusing. I think everyone in the nation has questions about what's going on. He has dropped tremendously on draft boards, on any freshman rankings since the beginning of the season, to the point where it's mostly probable he'll come back.
Right, or
How do you feel
transfer.
about that? Oh,
I think I'd
you think
probably see
that's.
the tr I could I don't know. I don't I guess I can't really speak to everything I hear about him is it's like he's a great kid. He's not mad about not playing. He just like wants to get better. So if that's the kind of attitude he has, then that's the guy that I think sticks around and stays within a program. But there's also probably going to be money out there for a 1 year
Yeah.
later five star. So probably
Yeah,
stay to
in
six.
the NIL world, the NIL world opens that up even more, you know, than we would have thought about this in the past. And I think it's a legitimate concern, but I know that there was some good NIL money that came from Iowa State his way coming in. I'm not sure what that looks like on a return season long term, but
I mean,
just looking at it, Osloberger hasn't lost. It's just, in his short career as a coach, so head coach, he hasn't really lost anybody. Nobody's transferred from him. That's been a big deal, at least at this point. So I think that would be probably the biggest recruit he's ever lost. But yeah, I guess what I'm saying is he hasn't had to go through that yet. In my experience with him at Iowa State.
Tyrese.
Otzelberger hasn't had to deal with a large recruit like Omaha wanting to leave. Really, anybody wanting to leave. Everybody stayed in. I know it's only been 3 years now, but
The only thought person that comes to mind is Tyrese.
yeah, he was an afterthought. He was going to leave regardless. I don't know why he didn't like his situation at Iowa State, but he's an anomaly.
We're not bitter about it.
We're better for it.
We are better for it. All right. So looking ahead, well, before we move on, let's do discuss the most, I'm going to say the biggest topic in college basketball. Caitlin Clark trucking an Ohio State student on the court. What are your thoughts on that?
So you can't escape this video. I mean, maybe the algorithm's just getting me, but I probably see this video every time I go on Instagram multiple times from different angles, getting different thoughts and going into different comment sections. But my thoughts on it are that it's kind of a soft, just looking at it, it looks pretty soft, just seeing the collision didn't look too crazy. I'm sure it's a lot more impactful and a lot worse, I guess, but not to too far of a degree.
Right.
It's not that big of a deal to me. We're hearing a lot about it. Iowa spoke on their press conference, post-game press conference about it after. The coach said something to the degree of, it's just disappointing to see. Thank God no one was hurt. Caitlin said the same thing. I just think it all sounds dramatic. I understand the point that they're trying to make, though, and what they're trying to address is that, what could happen, and there needs to be people ready to do something for a court storming. I'm just glad I haven't heard anybody talk about take away court storming and this and that.
A lot of people really don't agree with it. Matt Painter being pretty outspoken, the Purdue head coach, that he doesn't like it. I think like that's so such college is storming a court, storming a field. I don't understand why anyone would want to take that away from people.
Right, I think we're looking at the wrong issue here. This is, and what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to keep these people out? Fans are going to find a way to court storm, right?
Will find our way onto that court.
And so, yeah, I think it's a soft take. I think if you're looking at the real issue that needs to be addressed is just, I mean, why aren't there people ready to go to, I mean, just make sure, like medic on hand, just make sure that these players are going to be safe if they do get into a bad situation, And they need to be removed from the stadium, right, or moved right off the court right before this happens. And like, when this is going to happen. This shouldn't be a shock to people. I think sometimes people are putting themselves in these situations, and that's not what I'm saying about this Clark situation. I'm just saying, in general, there are way better solutions than let's just stop an awesome tradition in college basketball.
A local militia to come out and run guard duty.
Yeah, let's get the National Guard up in there.
Yeah, or a homegrown militia. Nine,
I
ten
would
guys hanging out
prefer,
together.
I prefer a, and they're all fans. They're all like diehard fans of that team,
Yeah,
just coming
with
together to protect them.
right. With semi-automatic weapons.
I was gonna say guns, but definitely no guns. No guns for the local militia.
What do we give the local militia then? Nightsticks?
Yeah, they get those stick. No, they don't need anything. They don't need
Just their
anything.
hands?
Yeah.
What if they're a target, though?
Hopefully there are a few cops there, just lurking behind the scenes, ready to, on the local militiaman side, ready to take out anybody that's getting way too wild and crazy. We've never seen that though, and I hope we don't.
Yeah, I hope we don't either. Kind of crazy we haven't.
It felt weird to say that we have never had that. So I guess let's take a moment to shout out the security at basketball arenas nationwide. They're doing their job. Yeah, way to go, you guys, because nobody's getting in. Or maybe that's just not the target. You don't see that at football games really either. So
Think it's
shout
just
out, just,
a fun vibe. Shout out to the
yeah.
vibe.
Because if you are feeling down in the dumps, I feel like you show up to that sports arena, you make a couple friends. You're at that football stadium, you walk in with the wrong intentions. All of a sudden, Brother Bruce comes up to you. You don't even know who the guy is, but in 2 minutes, you and Brother Bruce are kicking a cold one back and just really relishing in something good, whether your team's winning or losing. Because sports brings people together. So I think we're kind of hitting it on the nose why we haven't seen that.
Right. People are excited to be there. Excited to be next to one
If
each other.
you go with bad intentions, you're gonna quickly get Brother Bruced.
Brother Bruce.
Or Sister Shelby'd.
I'm gonna start using those everywhere. So thank you for supplying me with those.
Yeah, where's our brother Bruce?
Where's our brother Bruce? I love that. All right. So looking ahead, what games are there any games that really have your eye this week? A disclaimer to everyone at home. It's not our favorite slate we've ever seen for the week.
It's definitely not.
It'll get you there. It'll get you to Sunday. Because I think we're all excited to watch a little football on Sunday.
Yeah,
But
and
it's
I think
that
they know
week.
that too. I think they strategically plan these games out, obviously not knowing how good teams are going to be, but having a pretty good indicator. And as much as we've just kind of cautioned this week, it's still an exciting week we got going on. We're recording on Monday and we got North Carolina playing Wake Forest at home right now. Excited about that game. Just because, is North Carolina an underrated team to you? They're number three in the AP poll now.
Yeah, every time I look, they're higher than I thought they were. They are. They're an underrated team to me. I don't know. I guess I haven't got the stink of North Carolina from last year off me yet.
And they stunk last year, which is, I think that's why it's more fun to buy into them now. Just seeing their head coach, the difference it makes from just 1 year, losing a potential player that was not good for the locker room, but it's
Yeah.
really good for another locker room. And then some guys that took a step down last year, Armando Bacot, I'm looking at you,
Yeah.
are kind of coming back up a little and having not resurgences because it wasn't that dramatic, but they're coming back up and they're sticking their guns out. And as much as so when I look at their strength of schedule, I'm a little disappointed. They just haven't, but you can only beat who's in front of you. So I'm
Right.
not going to hold it against them, but just wish they would have played some tougher teams. They do have great wins though, overall, and I think that's a team that I'm definitely watching. RJ Davis, extremely fun player. That guy's putting up like 27 points a night, just not missing. And then they have a bunch of bigs that are good. Their whole team as a whole is solid. And I guess I'm just trying to put the spotlight on North Carolina right now. We see you. You're not underrated to us. You very quickly could be overrated to us, but we see you. We see you, RJ Davis.
We see you and we respect where you stand.
We respect where you stand. 7-0 in ACC play. Not that I think the conference is incredibly strong, but
7-0 is impressive. You still got to show up 7 times and win. So
yeah.
credit where credit's due to them. Hey, we're not going to take anything away from them today. If they lose this week, we might have to. But for now, they're not good in our eyes. A number one seed come March currently.
Wild.
Wild. Tomorrow night, Houston BYU, maybe the best game until Saturday.
For
Which,
sure.
I mean, I could see Houston just blowing the doors off BYU. It's in Provo, so there's a little
Yeah.
weirdness factor to it, as is the case with anything Mormon. It's going to be a little weird, but we'll see how Houston reacts to it. I assume well, and I think they probably blow BYU out.
I'm hoping, if we get that BYU shooting that we've been talking about, then I think it's a close game that Houston should take because, now that they were able to shake out some of their road games, I think they're able to go into BYU and just be a more composed team in general. Maybe LJ Cryer's out of his shooting slump that he's been in past, honestly, couple games we've been watching. But they just need their guy. Houston needs their guys to take over. They need to contest the perimeter. And I mean, that's it. You take away the three ball for BYU, you should be able to beat them. So, potential blowout if they can do that. Otherwise, I expect a closer matchup where the game's decided at the end.
Those are the best games.
Oh, yeah. Those are
Let's
the games you love to watch.
decide it in the final
Instant
minute.
classics. There's also Kentucky at South Carolina. not too exciting, but I think it should be closer than you probably expect. And Kentucky's just probably one of my favorite teams to watch right now.
You do
They're
love
so
Kentucky.
fun.
Who's your
They
favorite?
just, one of our, what?
Do you have a Kentucky player that you just favor over the rest of them, or are you equal opportunity to everyone?
Reed Sheppard.
Reed Sheppard.
White guy balling out, probable lottery pick in the NBA. Blows my mind. Didn't expect that.
Yeah, and they just had that 7-footer become eligible.
Yes, that we were getting highlights sent to us.
Big Z, as they know him, and
And that's.
I won't even attempt to pronounce his name. 7-footer, he rattled home, I think, 4 threes last week. Immediately, a unicorn that they just added to their lineup.
And what's up with these with this Kentucky team just having these 7-footers in the reserves? They're like, well, you know what, we're gonna save them right now. You know, big men don't have the best longevity health-wise, and so we're just gonna use them in these small spurts. And if they pulled out a 7-footer became eligible pretty recently, not too
Yep.
long ago for them in conference play, and now they just pulled out another one, Big Z, as we're definitely gonna call him because I actually would love to hear you pronounce his name
Yeah, no
and give it a
problem.
shot.
Zvonimir Ivizic.
I think that was actually really good. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
He's Croatian. He looks like a borderline vampire, which I don't think goes hand with Croatia. I think that's Romania. All the same, personally to me. I don't like his general vibe, but I do love a 7-foot guy that can rattle home threes. So I'm gonna be pro Big Z.
I'm rooting for him now, but big men can become enemies so quickly in college basketball for some reason, especially ones that play on blue bloods like this, more specifically ones that do. But we got to give it to Big Z on his first game. Played like 60 minutes, went 3 for 4 from the three, and was super physical in there the whole game or his whole 16 minutes. So, I mean, there's not much more you can ask for in that. We saw a whole highlight reel based off 16 minutes that felt like it went on for 16 minutes.
Right. And his favorite former Kentucky player is DeMarcus Cousins, and he likes to listen to Lil Baby, Polo G, Lil Durk, and Drake.
Oh, that's
So
sick.
he's good in my book.
Okay, that also lets us know what the, I guess what the youth are listening to, what the college kids are listening to now. They're listening to Polo G still. You know, they just can't get over the guitar riffs. And they're listening to, you say Youngboy?
I did not say young boy. I wish I would have said young boy. I wish that's what it said. Lil Baby, Lil Durk, and Drake.
He might have just left that one off. Just know he knew how it was going to be received, but I think he's a young boy fan too,
I
with how
mean,
physical he was playing.
I don't know who isn't a young boy fan. The vocals that he brings to the table, unmatched.
Right, what other games do we have this upcoming weekend? We just touched on that one. What else are we looking forward to? I have a few here. The if we are skipping to Saturday.
Wednesday night, there's a sneaky Villanova St. John's game.
Wednesday night. Yes, that's what I was going to bring up actually. That game should be good. Villanova almost beat UConn on the road, lost by a point. But I mean, they almost got it done against them. And I kind of thought they were going to, so I was a little upset UConn didn't take a loss there. Just don't like to see anybody getting too big for their head, which this UConn team and Dan Hurley definitely might be. But playing St. John's, playing our boy Rick Pitino.
Shout out
Our
Patino.
boy, I don't know, but
I don't know if I'm going to go that far. A guy that we occasionally can root for. And then there's some interesting SEC games. Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Auburn and Alabama. Both of those should be fun games for the most part, by all accounts.
Auburn on Alabama for sure. People are declaring them SEC champions already, saying if you
Early.
look at the metrics that they're hands down the best team. I think that it's a little more competitive than that, but to each their own.
Each their own. I agree with you. I think that's still a wide open conference. And you're going to see some of the old dogs get hot there. like a well-coached Alabama team.
Who do you see winning those games? You know, who do you see winning Auburn at Alabama, I assume? Yeah.
I think Alabama. I'm a huge Bama
I
guy.
like it. I
Besides
like it.
their coach shoving players like we talked about last week, I think they're a good team. I think he's a good coach. So, and I think that matters more than mostly anything is how well coached you are.
Well, I think if Auburn's going to lose, they've been on an insane 10-game win streak right now
They've been
with
hot.
wins over Mississippi, Vanderbilt, LSU, A&M, Arkansas. They have been hot. In their games after Alabama or Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, if they're gonna win or if they're gonna take an L, mean, could Alabama sounds about right.
Yeah.
Especially with Alabama coming off a loss to Tennessee. I like this Alabama pick.
I like that. I'll be riding it. And then I don't know if you have any more. I got a few more games on Saturday that I'm intrigued by, but
Well, on Wednesday, Kansas
what
State, unranked in the Big 12, but also tied for first. They'll be playing Iowa State.
Yeah, that game makes me nervous. That's why I didn't bring it up.
That game definitely makes me a little nervous, but if we continue, if Iowa State continues to defend their home court like they have been this season,
Right. That's always a plus.
I'm
There's
feeling a little more
a real
confident.
advantage. There's a real advantage there. Hopefully Lipsy's okay to go. By all accounts, everything I've read and heard, it's that everyone kind of expects him to be back. This was just a Saturday was just a break, a breather, load management for him.
Good for him.
So it'd be nice to have him in the lineup. It's nice to get some guys more developed on Saturday. I'll tell you what, if the Clones go 2-0 this week in the Big 12, they'll move to 16-4 and 5-2 in the Big 12 play. And they might be in real play to win the Big 12.
If that happens, I agree. Their schedule is not kind to them, but and neither is it for really anybody else in the Big 12. But if we're looking at everybody's and comparing, they got a tough road ahead of them.
Yeah, they do. They do. I don't disagree with you. And then I'm going to jump to Saturday, just because I think. And we discussed earlier,
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Clemson Duke. It's going to be a good one. At
Duke
Cameron.
coming off that loss against
Yep.
Pittsburgh, finally playing a decent Clemson team that's definitely struggled a little bit since coming out of non-conference, kind of to be expected. You know, they were one of those teams where we kind of knew, I think, they'd settle back down to they were soaring so close to the sun. And when Icarus flies close to the sun, his wings get burnt a little bit. So they're taking some time to heal. I think that should be a good game. And I think we learned a little bit more about Duke. Because not Duke's fault, we haven't seen them play tough competition, and the competition we have seen them play, it has varied so far between both scales, with how dominant they've been versus then they lose to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's all over the map. It's a long season, so I'm excited for that one. I'm rooting for Clemson.
Also got Auburn at Mississippi State. I think that could be a bounce back game for Auburn if they lose to Alabama.
Yeah.
Kansas, a struggling Kansas team, is coming into Hilton. We'll see how that goes for them.
Yes, we'll see how that goes. Utah State, Boise State. That's a fun game in the Mountain West.
Okay. Hey, shout out Boise State. We
Those are
see you.
two teams towards the top. Indiana State and Bradley on Saturday. Some good Missouri Valley
Okay.
games. And UNI plays Drake.
Oh, okay. That's a big rivalry in Iowa, folks. So you and I, Drake, playing against each other. That's gonna be a sold out event.
Yep,
Do you
at the
know
Knapp
where is
Center
it at?
in Des Moines.
Yes.
The heartbeat of Iowa.
What's your preview on that game? Where do you see that game going?
Drake by 15 plus.
Dude, Drake's gonna spank him.
I think so too.
But
So there's still some games this weekend. You gotta look for them. And by look
exactly.
for them, I mean Fox Sports 3, Fox Sports 2, ESPNU, ESPN Plus. They're out there.
But they'll be out there. They'll be out there. It's always an exciting week in college basketball, and this one's no different regardless of what we're saying. You know, it's always when the bar set the lowest that the expectations that it blows through that bar. And that made sense. So think about that one for a little bit. This is RJ Davis coming to you live.
Think about it. I loved it. I got it right away. Before I let you go,
Okay.
obviously you're a Chiefs fan.
Oh, yeah.
Gutted one out yesterday. Do you think you guys can beat Baltimore Sunday? Afternoon game.
I was pretty nervous going into this game as a Chiefs fan. Longtime Chiefs fan here, rode through some hard years. Just something you gotta say nowadays. And now I'm living in an era I never could have imagined that we'd be in 6 times going to the AFC Championship game. I wish it would have been 6 times at home, but that's not how the world works. And playing at the Ravens Stadium definitely scares the hell out of me. Not so much, honestly. I don't really care about the road versus home thing, but if we're looking at both teams here, Ravens have had the better season, and I think most importantly, they're the most healthy team. I think the Chiefs D is legit, even though I don't think they showed it as much on the road, but I think that's just maybe the Josh Allen effect. I think this should be a more defensive game if I'm being honest. Let's stop Lamar Jackson, let's stop Patrick Mahomes. But ultimately, yeah, I think the Ravens are able to get it done in a tight one. Mahomes doesn't get blown out in the playoffs, so it'll be a tight one.
So you're taking the Ravens?
Ravens walk away. Yeah.
Okay, can I get your NFC prediction too? Lions, Niners.
I know. It's just so going with my heart, I gotta go the 49ers. It's not the sexy fun one because I think a lot of the fan bases want the Lions to go there. I do too. It's a great story, but we gotta ride for our Iowa State boys and Brock Purdy showing the world he's not just a system quarterback. He'll take your team to the Super Bowl, even with that tag, and maybe do some damage to the Ravens. But I think the Ravens to win right now are a great pick. Hopefully I'm wrong though.
Okay. Fair. I'm rooting
What
for
are on the flip side, what
Kansas
are your
City.
thoughts? Okay.
Probably Kansas City, San Francisco Super Bowl. San Francisco wins.
You'd like that?
I would love that.
Not as San Francisco winning, but you like the 49ers getting there and then the Chiefs getting there. You think that's better for a fan base matchup rather than, getting the Ravens team that haven't been there in a minute and then the Lions who we all know the story there.
Storyline, no, probably not, but it's what I want to happen. I'll root for
Okay.
the Chiefs this weekend. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs.
Hell yeah. I think we take it, or I think we don't take it, sorry, but I'm excited to watch the game. It's Mahomes versus Lamar. This is going to be a good game. It's a championship game, so there's too much on the line for it to be a bad game. So let's go get your bets in, everybody, and let's make some money.
Absolutely. And with that, America, we're gonna let you go for the week. We are gonna introduce a mailbag for next week, so be sure
Yep.
to get your questions in. But other than that, we love you. We thank you for listening to us. Happy birthday, Ralphie, and we'll see you guys next week.
Happy birthday, Ralph.